Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Joe, is Charles out there with you? Is this a Joe Rex Road and Charles Robinson reunion at the NFL Combine?
Well, yes, but he's not. He actually had to bump his flight to tonight.
Ooh.
So he told me he would be good to do this now. So maybe, I don't know, maybe Charles is mad at us. He's probably listening, mad at us for ripping Jared's suit take.
Is Charles a big suit guy?
I've never seen Charles in a suit. I'm sure he's... That's not true. That's not true. I mean, what am I talking about? We've been at wedding. We've been at multiple weddings together, including my wedding.
So you have seen him in a suit,
but only wedding. But everybody, right? I think you take weddings out of it, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So other than weddings, I've never seen Charles in a suit.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo
there
Sports.
He is.
Charles, we're discussing fashion here on the program, and Joe said he's seen you in a suit a couple of times. This comes from a college basketball discussion. One of our co-hosts is upset that college basketball coaches no longer wear suits. Are you a big suit guy?
I don't know, Joe. I swear, I've worn like suit jackets covering things. Like, I mean, what are we talking about? Suit, like suit and tie, full blown,
No, you're not a suit guy.
Yeah, I don't really wear a tie, Like maybe the jacket and everything. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not really.
Yeah, right. I've seen you in a jacket. That's true.
Yeah.
So you were underselling Charles is basically what we've gotten to the bottom of here.
He's got some nice jackets.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Man, ripping me for not wearing them.
Just getting after him immediately. Charles.
No, I'm casual too. It's cool, man.
Charles,
how many people out there are running around wearing a suit and tie all the time? I mean, really,
that is a great question.
It's not really a common thing nowadays. I don't think it's not the 50s.
You got a top hat to go along with it, Charles. What how's your top hat game?
Mr. Peanut.
That's right. Charles, we appreciate you taking time to join us here today. Looking forward to the Charles Robinson, Joe Rex Road reunion at the NFL Combine as well. That could be special. What are your thoughts on the Kyler Murray situation in Arizona? Obviously, his agent coming out yesterday making some public comments about the contract negotiations and the contract status there for Kyler Murray. What do you make of kind of the offseason that has been for Kyler Murray and what that can mean about his future in Arizona?
I don't think Kyler finished the season healthy last year. Obviously, he had health issues during the season. You know, it's been a pretty consistent deal for him. I think that you have an experienced agent who at times has been very aggressive in how he's tried to pursue, contract extensions for players. He represented Marcus May and got into it with the Jets, and that didn't really go well. This is kind of a somewhat similar situation, but I think the reason why they're pushing so hard is because they're sitting there and they're staring at what just happened with Baker Mayfield. And they're saying, okay, here's this guy that, clearly the organization in Cleveland wanted to sign Baker Mayfield to an extension. I think they thought about doing it at $35 million per. It didn't happen. They decided, hey, let's take one more look at this, and then we'll do it after year four and just pay him more if he has the year four we expect. Well, obviously, Baker runs into injury issues. Everything changes, and now Baker's now got to go through year five if he hopes to have the contract extension that he's looking for. So I think that part of it is like, hey, he's made a couple of Pro Bowls. He's taken these big steps. He's in line after year three to get this extension, but I also think part of it is, they're looking afield at other quarterbacks and saying, like, hey, everything could go wrong in year four. The apple cart could flip over, and, you could have a coaching staff change. I mean, if they run into a brick wall next season, I think Cliff Kingsbury could be in trouble there. And then, you know, you get a new staff in there. Who knows what things could look like for Kyler Murray. And if he has a poor year on top of it, it just makes it, it changes, you know, things dramatically for him. And again, if he also, if he gets injured, and he suffered injuries the first couple of seasons too. So, I think it's just risk mitigation. You know, I'm surprised, honestly, that it's been this public and this negative. You don't often see an agent do, you know, kind of what Eric Burkhart did, which is basically put, you know, an organization on blast. But he did leave out the most important thing. What's the number, right? Like, hey, we proposed the contract, but I'm not going to tell you what that number is. I'm going to call it a market deal for a quarterback. Well, you know what? Some people could think a market deal, especially when they go out to, you know, pursue a new next quarterback contract. I don't know anybody who's had a good quarterback and gone for an extension and not said, hey, we want the top number, you know? So I'm not reporting or saying that they're asking for him to be the highest paid quarterback in the game and thusly the highest paid player in the game. But that's where most, you know, agents with really good quarterbacks who are really young typically go. They go right to the top of the heap and go, okay, let's make it a dollar more than what Patrick Mahomes is making.
Well, let's go to some younger quarterbacks. Or I'm sorry, some older quarterbacks. Much, much older quarterbacks in one event, Charles.
Is he wearing a suit? That's what I need to know, though, first, before we end this.
I mean, I don't know what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He's hopefully wearing, like, a plastic thing so when he pukes up on his, like...
Pacha Karma cleanse?
Yeah, his cleanse, you know? A big bib.
Lord, man.
So I'm so annoyed with him and everything. Like, just tell us on McAfee. Just come on. So what's your read on that? Also, apparently Russell Wilson put a picture of his family like on Instagram or something, and so now he hates the Seahawks. I don't know. Like, what's up with those two? And also, let's throw Carson Wentz in there too. Why not? Let's make it a trifecta.
So Rodgers, look, all I can say for Rodgers is that you have to view what the Packers are doing through the prism of what Rodgers has said down the stretch of the season, which is, hey, I'm talking to the front office. Things are good. You know, it's better. I feel heard, yada, yada, yada. You know, like he's done nothing but said positive things about a front office that he did not have positive things to say about. And the Packers made pretty clear Devontae Adams isn't going anywhere. They're going to franchise tag him if they have to. David Bakhtiari restructures his deal to create some salary cap space. And then what I really think is a big one, you know, Tom Clements comes back to be quarterback coach there. Hard for me to believe that these aren't all moves that the Packers are making, you know, with the idea of like, hey, we're listening to Aaron. We're trying to do things here that are going to make him happy. We just lost Hackett. That was a guy that you know, Aaron fought a lot of, so let's bring, you know, Tom Clements back in the fold, who Aaron thinks a lot of. And it's hard for me to believe Clements is like, yeah, let me go back to the Packers at this stage of my life. I mean, he could easily retire. Let me go back to the Packers, who are going to be Aaron Rodgers-less, you know, in a few weeks. So it feels like the Packers are doing everything they need to do to keep him, and then it's just going to come down to hammering out a contract. So I feel like it looks like an Aaron Rodgers return there. It's just getting the money where it needs to be, figuring the structure out, and then, you know, that moving forward. I'm with you, though. I don't know why we're dragging this out so long. I'm not sure what the upside of that is, other than Aaron Rodgers having people continue to focus on him and, you know, talk about him and, you know, make him a big, you know, topic of conversation, which he has not shied away from. In fact, this season he made himself more of a topic of conversation than any other time in his career, and appeared to enjoy it. So we're sort of, that's the bubble that we're in right now. But again, I think he's going to end up staying. Russell Wilson, I can only tell you, Russ, like, the only way he's getting out of the Seahawks, and maybe this is sort of what we're seeing the beginnings of, from what I was told, is, like, they don't want to deal him. They didn't want to deal him last offseason. They could have had a heck of a lot for him. they can have a heck of a lot for him this year, but it's going to come down to, like, how badly does Russ want off the roster? Does he want off, and is he going to push? Like, if he's going to blow it up, then there's a chance Russell Wilson gets dealt, but that's what it's going to take. Like, the Seahawks aren't out there going, like, hey, we're actively going to pursue dealing him, but if Russ turns this into, you know, a huge fiasco here, and I don't think, you know, removing some Seahawks stuff from your social media page is going to be enough. Like, I think Russell's got to just straight up say, I want off. I want to go somewhere else. I do not want to be here anymore. It's going to take him airing a little bit to really push Seattle. But teams are going to approach them in this next week, you know, at the combine. There are going to be, you know, definitely some questions about, hey, what would the trade comp be? Would you ever even think about it? Do you want, you know, can we maybe create a package and see what you think of it, that kind of thing. So maybe that's sort of what we're seeing with him, is where he's like, okay, hey, this is the time to start pushing and see if we can get dealt. Wentz, I mean, where do you deal him? Who wants him? Like, he's someone who illustrated the low points in Philly were repeated in Indianapolis to the point of frustration, obviously, to Frank Reich and ownership there. I think that if they could find an alternative to Carson Wentz, they absolutely would do that. But, you know, A, do you just cut him? B, can you find someone who can, you know, wants to take him in via trade? And then C, like, who's the replacement? That's the biggest thing, is, like, who do you replace him with? And they're kind of in the same situation as a multitude of teams that would like to add a player. And I just, you know, I don't know who that is and whether or not they're willing to, you know, to pay the compensation. By the way, you deal for Rodgers, you deal for Russ, there's a contract on the other side of that. So now imagine giving up multiple assets, multiple first-round picks, and then on the other side of it, excuse me, having to dole out a contract that's going to put them, you know, $40 to $50 million a year. It's really hard for teams to do.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, last thing for you here. Joe and I were having this discussion yesterday with Troy Aikman rumored to be getting a, you know, maybe a $90 million contract broadcasting, Sean Payton getting into the broadcasting world. How much do you think that the money that some of these former players and coaches are making in broadcasting may influence other prominent, especially quarterbacks, as we move forward here in terms of maybe retiring a little bit earlier and going after some of that TV money?
It's definitely influential, and it's pretty interesting, because when Drew Brees wrapped his second to last season with the Saints, there was someone inside the Saints that was like, hey, how do we get Drew to take the TV money? We would like to go after Brady. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, it's got to be a lot of money. So, like, I get it. But it was a really interesting sort of, yeah, right. I'm like, let me help out. I mean, conceptually, though, I was like, huh. I'm like, okay, well, you had someone who sat there and saw a door, you know, for Drew Brees to walk through and make a ton of money and, you know, obviously free them the opportunity then to pursue Tom Brady. It didn't happen. And they weren't going to push it. But, you know, I think they saw that TV was something that for certain guys, is a sunset that's going to be very, very lucrative. And, you know, I thought what was interesting for McVay is that you have guys who clearly are in line for a salary bump. Okay, McVay was making $8 to $9 million a season, wins a Super Bowl. He's been to two with two different quarterbacks. It was clear it was time for Sean McVay to be in that $14, $15 million range of Sean Payton and, you know, the spare few coaches. Well, how do you do that? He says, hey, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if this is the end or not, or maybe I'll retire. Oh, it's like, oh, Amazon TV money. And it's definitely a point now of leverage. I don't know that money is going to be there for many guys. And by the way, Drew Brees making a heck of a lot less than Romo. You know, for Aikman, for McVay, you know, Payton somewhat, there's going to be the big payday there, but I really truly believe those jobs, there's only a few of them available. So you know, there's not going to be a ton of guys who could go out and command that kind of, you know, Tony Romo type money, Troy Aikman type of money. There's only so many networks. There's only so much need for an absolute anchor personality in the middle of a booth. Obviously, the big franchises need it. Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, and then whatever your top tier broadcast is on you know, whatever your weekly lineup is. But the money's, I mean, it's pretty bonkers, and I get it. I totally understand why it's attractive, because you could double your salary as a coach. You could make comparable money as a player. I keep telling people, Romo, he's going to make way more as a broadcaster than he made as a Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, way more.
Like, it's going to be crazy. By the time he's done, I mean, Tony Romo easily could make $400 million. Just in the broadcast booth, you know, depending on how long he wants to do it. So, but let's be honest too, it's pretty good. You know, I don't know that there are a lot of broadcasters that I would put in his category and his ability to not only entertain people but also inform them, during the course of a game. So it'll impact the landscape at times, but, you know, there's just a big shakeup right now with Amazon coming in and everybody's sort of competing over the same group of guys. But, it's pretty interesting. I don't know. I mean, like, you guys, do you think Tannehill, you know, are you like, oh, Ryan Tannehill totally could be a $20 million a year broadcaster? Like, do you see him like that? I don't see every player like
probably not.
That or every quarterback like that. So,
I mean, I don't think Breeze. I mean, I think Breeze is like a guy who should be like the fifth broadcast pairing on Fox. Like Romo he's a unicorn of weirdness,
right,
and hyperactivity, you know?
Yeah.
And he's good.
And that's exactly right. That's a really good way to put it, because Breeze isn't. He's not. And, you know, just watching him, and now who knows, he can develop a skill set, but just watching him initially, like Tony Romo, as soon as he hit the ground, you were like, whoa, I was blown away. I couldn't believe it, because I was like, man, really? Like, Romo's going to be a good broadcaster? I'm like, I've talked to this guy, like, yeah, get it, but I don't know if he's going to be great. And then when I watched him, like, whoa, okay, wait, no, he's totally entertaining. You know, he was doing the whole thing of diagramming, telling people what the play was before it was called. You know, he makes little jokes, and he was perfect for Nance. But like you said, I don't know how many of those guys I would think could be that. Even McVay, like, I thought about McVay. I'm like, man, he's kind of entertaining. I'm like, but is he really going to be funny? Like, is he going to, you know, what exactly does he bring to the table that just goes beyond the smarts? Because a lot of people have the smarts, but don't necessarily have some of the other intangibles that make that big difference.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Charles, great stuff as always. Have fun in Indy, and I look forward to seeing both you and Joe in suits walking around. It'll be good stuff.
Yeah, all right. I didn't know it was like a prerequisite, but all right.
let's dress up for Dan Campbell. It'll be great.
Yes, please do.
So Don Draper over here, like everywhere. All right. I'll catch you guys in the
end. Thank you, Charles. Appreciate you. Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Charles had to say there. I got some tickets to give away coming up on the other side as well. The all-new Paint the Town Preds Pack presented by Yeehaw Brewing and Old Smoky. Purchase the pack and receive 2 weekend game tickets and 1 weeknight game ticket of your choice, plus receive a Preds car flag, a $25 Yeehaw Brewing Company gift card, and the opportunity to purchase 2022-23 season tickets as well. Visit nationalpredators.com/paint to secure yours today. Get your Paint the Town Preds Pack today and score your own hat trick, Smashville. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Games studio on this Tuesday morning. Going to be joined by Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, coming up here in a few minutes at 9:30. Looking forward to his thoughts on the Predators. Speaking of the Nashville Predators, I got a pair of tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Anaheim Ducks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, March the 10th. be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Ducks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, March the 10th. Nashville Predators regular season tickets to all games are on sale now. More information on Preds tickets can be found going to NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Do I think we had Charles flustered in that last segment? I think he's maybe rethinking his attire for the weekend. You'll have to provide updates from Indianapolis.
Yeah, will do. He better bring it now. You know, he's got some time before his flight. You know, don't be afraid to throw a tie in there, buddy. You know, some nice slacks. Come on, it's time to, you know, it's time to step up. I mean, there's really very few better looking, better dressed groups of people than a whole bunch of sports writers. You know,
that's,
I mean,
right. It's,
you know, you really got to bring your A game around this crew.
There's no question about it. So I thought it was interesting what he had to say about the quarterbacks there. We talked about the Rodgers part of this earlier. Like, again, stunned is too strong of a word for Aaron Rodgers because I guess you really never know what he's going to do. But I'd be shocked if he's not back with the Packers. I just think everything is pointing that direction. You know, the Russell Wilson part of it might get interesting. The Carson Wentz part of it, to me, is the most interesting quarterback situation out there because the Colts have been pretty vocal about Carson Wentz and the quarterback play, and I just don't know what the answer is going to be if it's not Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. Like, who is going to want to take on Carson Wentz? Now, you could just cut him at some point, and that would still hurt a little bit, but the Colts can do that. So that may be the most likely route here, and you just cut Carson Wentz and you get a quarterback after that. But I don't know at this point who is trading for Carson Wentz and what you're giving up to get him.
Right. And then and even if you go the cut route, you know, they got the cap space, you know, to absorb that, be okay. But who's your QB? I mean, if you're take out the top two, take out the two guys, take out the dream scenarios. If you're a Colts fan and it's Wentz or the field, who do you feel better about to try to win the AFC South next year?
That's a great question.
Wentz or the non-Rodgers/Wilson field?
Now, I'd throw Watson in there too. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great question. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, everybody keeps coming back to Jimmy G. Like I feel the exact – and this is me. You may disagree with this. I feel the exact same way about the Colts heading into next season. If Carson Wentz is the quarterback, if Jimmy G is the quarterback, there's virtually, to me, no difference in the way I would view the Colts.
It's very close. I might feel a smidge better about Jimmy G, but I mean, I wouldn't, that to me would not put them over the hump relative to the Titans, just in terms of what you look like on paper going in. Now I say that and, you know, the Colts may vastly upgrade themselves at receiver, may get an edge rusher who is ready. You know, I mean, we don't know all the offseason moves, and those are certain things. And both of these teams at this point, like most teams in the NFL, are in a position of you got to help your quarterback as much as possible. You know, you got to do as much as possible to give your quarterback protection, weapons, and then also have a good D. So, I mean, I guess the Colts could, in theory, they could look better on paper than the Titans after all these moves are done. But just purely on QB, I mean, the only way – I mean, unless they can get one of those guys, which looks very far-fetched, then they're behind the Titans in my mind.
The Preds Foundation Wine Festival and Tasting presented by Deacon's New South returns to Bridgestone Arena Friday, March the 11th. You can sample over 285 high-end wines, enjoy delicious culinary creations from local restaurants, and bid in an extensive silent auction as well. Tickets start at $89. Visit NashvillePredators.com/wine for more information. When we come back, we'll be joined by Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender Chris Mason. We'll get his thoughts on the week that was for the Predators and look ahead to an important West Coast road trip starting tomorrow in Seattle as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yeah. And it is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Row. Time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Preds TV analyst, former Nashville Predators goaltender Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. C-Mace, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Not too much. Just enjoying the nice sunny start to the day here.
It is the weather is quite good here in Nashville this week. We are very thankful for that. So, C-Mace, I've been looking forward to talking to you now for a few days because last week was just such a whirlwind here in Nashville, and I know that your relationship with Pecorine is pretty special as well. What was last week like for you during that part, and specifically as you were watching number 35 being raised to the Raptors, what was that moment like for you?
Well, honestly, I think I have an emotional hangover. I think we all kind of do it from a certain degree, but honestly, I feel it was just, it couldn't have went any better. I thought it was amazing. I can't imagine how Pekka feels after this week, but I just thought the tributes were so incredible. I thought the fans' response to all the speeches and his address and everything were just on point. And everybody that I talked to just, you know, had the same thing to say, just, you know, about the person that he is. And, you know, there's nobody else that they would rather have up there, and how he represents, you know, our team and our city. And so I just thought it was perfect. And then Pekka's, you know, opportunity to say goodbye to the fans, you know, just in that sense, and talk about his career. And the next time, I'm sure we're going to see him again. But, you know, just to be recognized and to let them know how much that they meant to him. So it was perfect. And then, you know, it was awesome. And then you want to go into the other game. That was next level. Absolutely unbelievable. I thought this city, like, by far, to me, in my opinion, the best that I've ever seen. Just all the things that Nashville has to offer. That was just an unbelievable day. It sucks they lost and took a couple penalties there, but and the power play Tampa's. But man, what an unbelievable spectacle.
Yeah, it was an incredible week. I don't know that it could have, you know, I don't know it could have gone any better relative to expectations, right? I mean, everything was in place. And then, you know, like you said, the Preds lost, Chris, but a 2-for-3 week coming off 4 straight losses. How do you view, you know, what they did in total during the week and where they stand now as they kind of get back into normalcy?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, you know, recognize that obviously the game, you know, and what they did, but it's going to be tough to get back to normalcy because that is, like, you know, that's one of those things where it's a playoff, I don't know, just a special event where you just, you know, it's almost separate. Like, you're separating yourself. You go into this emotion, first of all, it's Pekka, right? You know how much that meant to the guys that played with him, and the guys that, you know, you hear about this guy, and, you know, Tomasino that was around him last year, and, you know, for that, and then to go in to the stadium series where everyone had their families in town. You know, this is not just for the team. Obviously, they had to go and get the 2 points. We know about that, but all their families are in town. They got special outfits. This is like one of the, you know, this is like a kid's dream come true. You know, these guys are getting to recognize that dream again on an NHL stage here. And it's emotional. And, you know, I know these guys are professional athletes, but you could just see their faces, the looks on their faces when they're walking out. And they're just like wide-eyed. And I remember I was looking at Tanner Janot, and, you know, he's looking around, and you're just trying to take it all in. It's just, you can't believe there's that many people, and just, you know, that it's a different sound and the feel in the air when you're outside, and, you know, especially with the fans in the building. It was incredible. Now, you know, like you said, Joe, you got to kind of reel it back in and get back to business, so to speak, because you didn't win the game, which absolutely sucks, aside from everything else being perfect. You didn't win the game, and now you're going into, a building that you haven't played in yet. And, you know, you're playing, a lesser team in the standings, and you got to win that one. So I guess it's back to the normalcy of a regular season, because they're about to embark on a grind, you know, that secondhand grind after those Olympic breaks. It's going to be crazy.
Chris Mason on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And C-Mace, I'm glad you brought up Tanner Janot, because he gets his 18th of the year the other night. I mean, the way he's playing right now, he may end up scoring 25, 26, 27 goals this year as a rookie. As you've watched him play this year and as he's continued to grow, what do you think the future looks like for Tanner Janot? Because we've talked about how unique of a player he is and the combination of size and speed and skill and physicality that he brings to the table. But I watched this guy play, and what I learned last week is when the moments get big, the moments are not too big for Tanner Janot, and that's a good quality to have as they move forward.
I agree with you, Robbie. I think he embraces it. It's, you know, he's scored so many, you know, time goals, game winners. You know, as you said, like when kind of the moment rises, he rises with it, and he meets the challenge. And I just think this is a guy who's got a deep-rooted belief in himself that has, you know, at every level had to fight against the odds undrafted. And we know the story, how he's gotten here and how quickly that, you know, he's kind of rose to stardom in a way with his unique skill set. There's nobody like him. You know, there's few players that, if you want to put Brady Tkachuk into that category of that, have the skill and the physicality, and maybe each degree of certain attributes vary with some of those players, but just his sheer intimidation factor and the fact that he can perform at those moments. I mean, that's what this team thrives on. And for him, you know, you look at the identity of what you want your team to be. You want to be fast. You want to be skilled. You want to be tough. Well, he checks all the boxes, and of high character. I mean, this kid checks all the boxes. And to me, this is, I know he's, I think he's got one more year, but I'm sure when he comes up next year, David Poile is probably, he's going to get on that horn the second his availability to extend his contract comes on, and I don't blame him. I'd be doing everything in my power to lock up this kid long term. So we'll see how that plays out. But man, I don't know. I mean, you talk about potential. I guess that's the unknown. But from what I've seen this year, I mean, the sky's the limit in terms of his impact that he can have on the game. And you know, he can be a unique star in this league with his skills.
Would you think there'd be any benefit, Chris, to moving him in the lineup, maybe putting him with Johansson, giving that an extended look?
I think you could, but I guess the only risk you run is, you know, you have a really good thing going with Colton Sissons down there and Yakov Trenin. I guess you risk the run of maybe altering the effectiveness of that line and what they do. I mean, they start hockey games. They play in the defensive zone. They play a lot of important minutes. But, you know, I mean, Tomasino's doing he's kind of filling in right there and doing really well with that Johansson line. But it's been talked about. I know that. And I know they've done it at different points of the season. You know, you just have to find the right combination because it does have that trickle-down effect, I guess, the rest of the lineup. But it's definitely something I know has been talked about and could be, you know, considered in the future given the, you know, the circumstance.
See, Mace, last thing here for you. Obviously, there's a lot of chatter about Philip Forsberg right now. I'm curious, from a player in the locker room, that when you know that one of your teammates has a contract situation coming up and the deadline is right around the corner, like, is that distracting as a teammate? What's that dynamic like in a locker room when you know that there's a big decision coming up, both from the organization side of things and from the player side of things as well?
Honestly, guys don't care. You know, selfishly, I mean, you hope it gets done. You know, for his sake and distraction sake and all that. But they don't really care. There's so much pressure on yourself individually that, you know, that is the main focus. So I don't think the guys really care personally. Although you'd like to get it out of the way to stop talking about, I guess. But, you know, it doesn't really affect. Guys are so they're so tuned in to winning a hockey game.
Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9:30. Brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. See, Mace, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what C-Mace had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 1025. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's as the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game. Jasper's is located on West End Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area as well. Plus, they offer free parking. We know what a big deal that is downtown Nashville on West End, and offer specials for every Preds game day, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottle domestics. So come on down to Jasper's for the next game day, which is tomorrow, by the way, for happy hour every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and 2-for-1 beers all day long on Sundays. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you.
But like, if they wanted to fire him, I wouldn't be against it. I wouldn't get up on my soapbox and be like, that is ridiculous. That dude threw a punch at another coach on TV.
Bad.
On CBS. I mean, that made CBS, and you know how I feel about the coaches that don't wear suits?
Uh-huh.
Like, I think it declasses the sidelines a little bit.
Yes, you are a very elitist when it comes to what coaches wear.
It's like a school dress code. You know what I mean?
I don't think it matters. If you want to wear a quarter zip, go for it, Will Wade. Go for it, Bruce Pearl.
How many, before we stop making the coaches wear suits, how many times we have coaches punching other coaches on the sidelines?
Oh.
How many?
What was Bobby Knight wearing when he threw a chair?
Bobby Knight doesn't wear suits.
He wore a suit.
No, he was a sweater guy. But, please answer my question, witness.
I don't believe any.
Okay.
But I don't think this is a trickle-down effect.
Oh, there we have it, Joe Rexroad. Audio confirmation. How many people getting in fights on the sideline when the coaches are wearing suits, Joe? Your response.
You know, Jared brought up Stockholm Syndrome with, like, Tannehill and all the people right here. I mean, poor Caroline. I continue. My thoughts go to Caroline often. you've got to, and she does a very nice professional job of handling those moments rather than, you know, like throwing something at Jared, which would be totally warranted.
Out Nate, who told me where the sound was to find it. He was right. He, in fact, was right.
Way to go, Nate. That's a good find. We might have to use that one multiple times.
So let's remember the exact line. How many more fights do we have to have before coaches go back to wearing suits? Is that what he said?
No, he said, how many times did you see coaches and, you know, bench clearing brawls back when all the coaches were in suits? Didn't happen very often. So I guess his connection there is people have started fighting more that the coaches aren't wearing suits now. The quarter zip has brought out the violence in people.
Okay, so Jared, like, he wouldn't double down on this, right?
Like, I don't know.
Like if you're not in the heat of the moment of just words flying out of your mouth before your brain can tell you to stop letting the words fly out of your mouth, like he wouldn't sit here today and be like, oh, yeah, right? Like, there's no way.
I don't know.
Caroline, we need a Joe versus Jared prompt.
This could really be a Jared versus Joe go-to.
Well, I would love for Caroline to include that topic tomorrow. But, I mean, that would be almost cruel to Jared, wouldn't it be? but does he deserve it? He may. He may deserve it.
By the way, the Nashville Predators in Bridgestone Arena appreciate and recognize military first responders and their families. Your company can help fund tickets for these heroes during Ford Military Week, the week of March the 7th. You can learn more about the Heroes Salute Program at NashvillePredators.com/Military Week. Thanks to C-Mace for joining us in the last segment. I am interested, like, it was interesting to hear his thoughts on the Forsberg part of this. Like, if you're a player in there, does not a little bit of you, if you're a Matt Duchene or a Ryan Johansson, obviously you're not talking to him about this and like, hey, dude, when are you going to sign? Like, all that stuff. But isn't a little bit of you curious to see how quickly this either gets resolved? And if it doesn't get resolved by the deadline, isn't that kind of in the back of your mind if you're a Johansson or a Duchene or a Josi in this conversation?
Yeah, well, of course. And obviously, these guys can all relate to each other on these things. I mean, not everybody has this exact situation, but obviously, you know, everybody comes up on these contract situations, the top players, and this team where it is. And as you said earlier on the show, you know, this is another light week. I mean, it's Seattle tomorrow, San Jose Saturday, and then you start getting into some heavy-duty stuff with Dallas and Anaheim and St. Louis and Minnesota. And so you're going to be in all these huge games. You're going to be barreling toward the trading deadline. And whatever's happening on the ice, you know, the distraction meter is going to be rising through that time period, you know? So, yeah, I'm sure, obviously, with those guys, they want the best for Phil. They want him to get the most he can get. And I'm sure they'd also love to see this resolved ASAP so that they can just move on. Because, you know, everybody can talk about, no, you just, you know, compartmentalize things and you just do your job and all that stuff. But, you know, around this time of year when there's uncertainty with a huge player, that can't help but distract a team.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Nick texting in says, I was a huge Austin Watson fan. I feel like we got a higher scoring Watson in Tanner Janot. I agree with that to an extent. I will say, I think, number one, Tanner Janot is way more physical than Austin Watson ever was, and I think he's way more skilled than Austin Watson, too. So, yes, to a degree, it's like a big-time Austin Watson. But, you know, Watson was kind of, I don't want to say forced into this role, because that's probably not the right way to put it. But Austin Watson was the physical presence and or, you know, the answer when something bad happened out there on the ice for this Predators team for a couple of years, because they didn't have anybody else. Like, it was Watson, and I guess if you made Matthias Ekholm mad enough, he would come after you a little bit. But other than that, like, who were the guys that were answering the bell for the Predators a couple of years ago? Didn't have very many of them. It's a little bit different now. You know, you got Trenin and Janot, and I mean, heck, we saw Ryan Johansson throw the gloves the other night. It's kind of a mindset of a team, but I think Janot is way more physical than Watson was.
Yeah, I think – well, I think the Watson – so it was Sissons, Bonino, Watson. Is that right? That was the line?
Yes.
Yeah, against Colorado, for example, that ended up being, you know, a really important line in that series and, you know, took on their top line. It's a good comparison. He was really good on the penalty kill. He'd get a shorty here and there. I think he had like three or four shorties one of those years.
He did.
17 and 18, he was – he was, I would say, a poor man's version of what Janot is now. But yeah, like the power and the skill don't match up to what this guy is.
How do you kind of refocus after what was an incredibly emotional week? I was talking about this yesterday on Preds Insiders. Like, the week was not easy for the Predators. I know there's a lot going on. It was fun and all these different things. It's not an easy week when you talk about, you know, sitting on the bench for 55 minutes watching Pecorino getting his jersey retirement. You got to go play a game 20 minutes later. You know, having your families in town. All of it's fun. All of it's great. You'll take it if you're a player. But it's not normal, and it kind of takes you out of your routine. How difficult do you think it is to settle back in here with only two games this week with a, you know, coming off of what has been a super emotional week for the Predators? I thought it was smart, by the way, of John Hines to – they didn't practice Sunday. They didn't practice yesterday either. Just kind of get away from it for a little bit, and they'll be practicing again today before they head off to Seattle.
I feel like it actually works out pretty well to have a little bit of time to practice and kind of reset and refocus versus being thrown right into a game, you know, like last night or something, you know, like a day off and then a game. I feel like this – practice, refocus, get on the road. You fly out today, and you know, then you start over a little bit. So, I you know, doesn't guarantee anything, but hey, there's no excuse for losing to Seattle. So, go out, get a win, get back on the winning track. That would make it three wins in four games, and then you get another extra day in there before the next one. Then you get another couple days off before the next one, and then you better be nice and rested because it is coming fast and furious from there.
Jim on the text line says, Joe, prompt the debate by wearing a suit tomorrow on Jared versus Joe. Maybe you suit up tomorrow for Jared versus Joe. I doubt you packed a suit, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'll be driving back from Indianapolis, so I will not be on camera anyway. But I'll I think I actually do have a nice jacket with me. Maybe I'll wear it just as a – like if the coaches – if they had like really nice tuxedos on the sidelines,
yeah,
would it be the most polite – would they be hugging after the game?
Could be.
Well, it would be like the most tremendous sportsmanship ever if the coaches were dressed to the T with the top hats, with the canes,
yeah,
Like, imagine that. It would be like it would be utopia of sportsmanship.
I mean, James Bond.
Jared has got his finger on the pulse of something here.
He does. I mean, James Bond dresses pretty nicely. There's some violence involved there. Peaky Blinders, they dress pretty nicely. Some violence involved there, too.
The Godfather movies that Michelle and Ryan Porth still need to watch.
There's that, too.
Yeah. All right. I guess I get your point there.
Yeah. Joe, NFL Combine today. Dan Campbell coming up later. The Titans are speaking tomorrow. So J-Rob and Mike Vrabel tomorrow at the NFL Combine. What's this day look like for you?
Well, remember, a very important assignment for me.
Oh, I know.
Trent Baalke speaking at noon Central. I will be there to capture every word and transcribe every word for the Pro Football Writers Association. So I will have a better feel for the keen insights he has into building a great team and franchise in the NFL.
Yes. Really, really looking forward to that one. Dan Campbell, should Trent Baalke on the same day. How could you ask for anything more at the NFL Combine? Joe, looking forward to your coverage today from the Combine. You can check out Joe's coverage at The Athletic. We'll discuss it more tomorrow on the show as well. Titans talking tomorrow. J-Rob and Mike Vrabel late tomorrow morning, early tomorrow afternoon as well. So looking forward to those conversations. That's going to do it for us today. Joe, have a wonderful time in Indy.
Will do. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
That's right. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.